can sell you 200 pounds. We don't really do anything less than that.
Yeah, it's just a big chunk of change.
Well, maybe you're in the wrong business then.
No, I don't think that's the case.
Look, I want to talk to your guy.
My guy?
The guy you collect for.
Look, Vince, you don't want to mess with these dudes.
Yeah, I don't see many more options.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Ciaffardini. Thanks for coming back to the podcast. We are once again excited to welcome the next guest to the Go See Talk podcast experience. Anthony Molinari has the best accent you've ever heard. He's the coolest stunt coordinator, stunt double, stunt leading man. He is cinema. He is modern acting at its finest, and we're excited to have him and his accent on the podcast. So let's welcome him to the stage. Anthony, how's things in your world?
Thanks, Mike. Everything's going fantastic right now. Really just grateful. Looking forward to the best year of my life. 2023, here we come.
I can share that sentiment. I'm excited to put everything in the past and just take it one day at a time. But why don't we talk about big picture? It's so funny. I really enjoyed The Last Deal. I'm watching it and I'm going, It's kind of disarming, because usually when you have a movie that has a character narrating, you'd like to think that everything's going to be okay at the end. And then I remembered a little movie called American Beauty. Didn't really turn out that way. So when you take a project, I guess, what speaks to you the most? What twists and turns do you like? And I guess, what did you like about The Last Deal that made you say, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about the story. I mean, how the story inspires, how the story moves you. I mean, my goal is always to like find something that's going to not just move myself, but move the people around me, closest to me, even if that's in an uncomfortable direction. But like, it's all about movement to me. So like when I read the script that Jonathan wrote, Jonathan Salemi, amazing writer, producer, director, he was our go-to guy. He was our rock at Gibraltar on this one. He was pretty much amazing on what he created. But yeah, Jonathan's story, when I read it, when he asked me to read the script, I'd never taken on a lead role before. And I was really trying to find a role in here that I would love to go towards as opposed to the main character. But as I read this more and more, and the more relatability, the more it spoke to me, with just things that were going on in my life and what really resonated and moved me. That's what brought me to taking on this big challenge of being the lead in this movie.
Yeah, and it's not to sound funny or cross, but you look through your resume and you have titles like Man, Cop, Dude, SWAT. Now you are a character, you're a leading man. You're carrying this unbelievable true story. So, that's you in front of the character advancing your career. You're also noted as executive producer. So how do you dance those two, those lines?
Well, with smaller projects that I found, like, you end up wearing a lot of different hats. And I think like anything else, like at the beginning, it's an introduction and you have this relationship, but as the relationship just starts to blossom and more mature, you become more vested into it. And so that's kind of what happened with this project. The more we got into this project, the more I think the more space I saw for potential and possibilities. And I think the space almost to be just taken, because it needed someone to take it. So stepping in, helping out with like, well, being my own hair, wardrobe, makeup guy, wardrobe. I mean, you don't realize how important the heads of these departments are until you actually take them on. And that was amazing, like, experience to go through that. Would never want to go through it again. But it was like something that I think just opened me up to like more well-rounded filmmaker. And that's where the executive producer came in. Once we started to get into a point where this story looked like it was really going to blossom and we really had something special here, that's when like some financials and some phone calls and some resources had to come into play. And I was more than happy to support in that way.
Well, it's funny you use the word blossom in reference to a movie about the weed business. We don't get the same backstory that you do, and this is coming from a true story. So, how much creating something what goes on behind the scenes that maybe you wouldn't have thought you were expecting to do, to bring your character to life?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of go out and do those typical things like, who this story was really based off of, we were able to meet him. And that was your kind of typical thing is do your homework. You go and like meet some of these guys, interview somebody, talk, have dinner with some of these men who are in this similar business and what their experiences are. And then I think beyond that, some of the stuff that I didn't see coming was I started realizing that like I wanted to go into a deeper angle, a different angle than your typical resource. So I kind of started doing little things. I started choosing like an animal that represents Vince, you know what I mean? And then I started studying this animal and I just use it more as a backup in the sense of like when I'm maybe in a lost spot, I can just take a picture of, like I can just look at my screenshot and I can see my animal and I'm like, oh yes, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. Oh yes, that's the look I need right now. I love that look. I don't know what that look is, but it's something to me and it's something that Vince resonates with Vince right now. So that was an interesting resource that I didn't see coming that I picked up along the way.
And when you get these little reminders, do you see it and you're instantly like there, or does it take you a little bit to sort of get up to speed every day on set?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of both. I think sometimes it takes me right there, you know what I mean? And other times it's like, okay, yeah, but that's not really resonating with me. Let me work with this a little bit more. Let me play a song. I know what song I play a song and then I'm like, oh yeah, okay, now I'm feeling it. Here we go. Or maybe it's just like, hey, I just need a TV time. Just give me 1 minute. You know what I mean? I just got to go over here and take a deep breath. So I think it's like a combination of sometimes working up to it and also sometimes it's right there on the spot.
Gotcha. Well, you know, the reason I ask is I saw something recently where Mike Myers, where he talked about where his inspiration for his characters comes from. He says it's just a word, you know, with Linda Richman, it was just coffee. And boom, it was like you're instantly transported there. And a lot of times characters have to get into makeup, but sometimes, you know, with a lion or a word or a song, I guess that's, it's interesting to learn your process. So thanks for spelling that out.
Absolutely.
So tell me about The Shades. Are you going to be in a Robert Evans biopic pretty soon? What's going on with that?
No, this is I'm learning to adapt to these whole specs. I started wearing glasses about 3 years ago, maybe 3.5 years ago. And at first I went the route of like, you know, I'm just going to go Costco and I'll do a 5-pack. And then my wife started saying like, hey, listen, you need some real glasses. Like you need some power. You need some glasses that are going to like represent you. And it slowly evolved into like, she goes, well, what do you want? I go, I just want something really thick. And we looked everywhere. We couldn't find anything. And then one day we're on vacation in Vail and walked into the shop and there they are. And of course they're at Venice Beach. The lady makes them at Venice Beach. And these glasses are really, actually started to become a part of my identity lately. So it's been almost a year and it's been a fun ride so far. And I'm just embracing them.
that again, thank you for sharing. Well, I'll do some sharing too. These glasses that I'm wearing are something that I similarly about 3-4 years ago got into. Found that I'm farsighted. So I was trying so hard to not go hyper-focused. And so you are like, the kid stays in the picture. And I'm just, hey, I'm at my keyboard, typing away. So it frames you well. Well selected.
Yeah, thanks.
So let's jump into some of the stunts of The Last Deal. I think one of the most amazing things to see, there was a very practical effect where Bobby met an unfortunate end. Were you there when that, because, you know, I understand that you have to set up and not every actor's needed for certain shots, but were you there and how'd they pull that off? That was really going for the throat, so to speak.
Yeah. Those are some of the trickiest shots to pull off, I think, in the business. I mean, I don't care what level you're at the highest Avenger level and even as low as a lower indie budget like ours was. They always seem to have problems with like blood and knife, all of this working together at the same time, apparatuses and air and blowing and tubes and flowing and liquids flying, and it never really seems to come out right. So we had to do another take on it. I was there the entire, so our first day that we went to attempt this, it didn't really, it didn't really execute the way we wanted it to. So we ended up going back for a second day, which was probably the only shot we really had to go back for and reshoot because it wasn't a successful afternoon. And yeah, an emotional scene, not just a technical scene because there was so many people involved on trying to just to create that. I mean, as far as like visual effects, special effects, props, makeup, and then the artists themselves, it was a tricky shot, but it was a highly emotional shot too, because we're talking about one of the climaxes where he draws a lot of his energy and Vince losing his brother and then taking on, the character Mister, who's playing by Mister, and not ever really fully healing from his brother's death and witnessing Mister's death. There was a lot I felt like that I felt Vince let go then that he didn't let go when his brother died. So there was a little bit of a backstory to that as well. It was like he felt like a failure as an older brother with his younger brother dying, not being there when some unfortunate stuff happened. And now here we are, cut to a decade later, and we got his next adopted kind of brother, his partner, getting killed as well, and feeling as though he failed at that as well.
It's definitely a standout moment in the movie, but you're right. It's definitely a turning point for the character. It's pretty exciting, though, too, because I think with you wearing a lot of hats in the movie, one of the things that I think is also a standout is the music. And I think that combination of your voice, some things hook you in the beginning. Like I could listen to Anthony read a phone book and it would just sound like, just keep going, get past the M's, go to Z's. It's just like, I like, and so like that balance with the music was like, it kept my interest. And so I just wanted to throw that little nugget of praise out there.
I really appreciate that. It was like, it's so funny what goes on in the mind of the delivery, you know what I mean? Where am I, like, am I making any sense? Is this even working? is this garbage? Should we hire a voiceover guy? and to hear that, man, that really warms my heart. I appreciate that. Humbled. Thank you.
No problem at all. No problem at all. Well, let's talk just a little bit more about the story. It feels like I bet this thing happens a lot. And I mean, the depths to which it went and the seedy people that were involved, I mean, it's kind of shocking that this is a true story. But it feels like this is, it's not one of a kind. There's probably a lot of things out there. So did you, when speaking to these people who actually lived the story, did they give more, people that they know they ran into? Like how deep did the web go maybe when you started doing research?
I have my best friend from high school. I've known for almost like 25 years now. And he's running a business right now at a much higher level, And he's struggling just to keep up with the bigger like companies that are out there and all the red tape that's out there. And like, if a guy like that has that kind of funding, where last I heard it was like, I think he raised $20 million just to get it off the ground. This is like a very real problem that's out there that like you're going to see these Amazon like companies coming in and just wiping out a lot of smaller people. And the stories were definitely, Oz wasn't the only one. So it was interesting to hear some of the advantages and some of the other routes that these guys have gone to avoid that. One in particular, what was I working on? Oh, Ford Ferrari. And Matt Damon introduced me to one of his buddies. And his buddy had started the weed business way back in the day. And it just it got to the point where it was like, he saw it before it happened, where he had to be forced out. So he voluntarily left. And then he started his own fertilizing company. He's like, you know what? I know the perfect formula for the fertilizer, for the weed business. So let's go legit. Let's go somewhere where no one else is really grazing right now. And I thought it was brilliant. So instead of trying to fight through it, you know what I mean? And not look around, look outside the box. He looked outside the box and he landed another small little, like, it sounded like he was doing very well.
Wish it were that easy for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, I imagine the the type of projects you take are so varied and unique. There's probably not one day that repeats itself. But what is a week in your life like? Can you give us some, you know, highs, lows, challenges, triumphs, something like that?
I mean, honestly, it's for me, it's family first. Like I have three beautiful kids, with my wife, Ruth. We have Lorenzo, Mateo, and Angelina. And if I am not at work, I'm running home. And if my kids are at school, I'm usually working in the yard and in the garden. So my typical week, I mean, I try to get my daily routine in. I've noticed that like recently, like if I could set a nice routine every morning, it just sets a tone for the rest of my day. And a lot of time that just looks like, you know, I love the steam. So I get in the steam, I work out, I meditate. I do a little stretching, then I come out, I do my little routine with my journal and what I start with my morning with is hot water with lemon. And then I'm off and running with the kids. And then I'm back usually going off to work, whether it be with coordinating Abbott Elementary or Days of Our Lives or playing one of the reoccurring guest stars over on Barry. We just finished these shows. They're all kind of coming to an end. And like I said, it's usually for me, it's all about the family. I mean, if I'm not at work, I'm running home to my family.
Those are great words to live by. I feel like I give 120% in my sort of the time I'm allotted at the desk. But after that, you know, once you are out the door, yeah, you prioritize. And that's fantastic to hear, Anthony. Before we leave, you know, you mentioned you have a routine. You were in The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg. Apparently he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. When do you start your day?
I mean, I'm trying to think start because it's an interesting starting point that I have, because my youngest one, my 4-year-old, comes into our bedroom right around 5 every morning. And so lightly it starts in bed then. And she usually lays down with us for about an hour, hour and a half before we all start trickling out and starting our day. And recently I've gotten the boys on a routine. So it's just, you know, make your bed, open your curtains, meditate, 10 burpees. So that's what we try to do before we even have, we run off to go to school. So, I'm just trying to practice with them what I know works for me, and then see if they have the same kind of success.
Well, Anthony, thank you for your time. Leading man, family man, humble man, humanitarian. Everyone, check out The Last Deal coming out February 7th. Check out Anthony's other works, TV, movies. He's in everything you've seen, more than likely. And we will catch you next time. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Mark.